This is Sheffield Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 11th of August, 2017. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the showroom workstation building in the centre of Sheffield. Are you listening on FM radio or are you listening through our internet live stream? Whichever you're listening, the show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website and Talking Podcast. Last Friday's programme, the 4th of August, we got the crystal ball out and we looked into the near future for Wi-Fi and communications technology. What do you need to prepare for? How is it going to affect you? Neil Reed, who is an internationally published author, consultant, expert, who's worked on Wi-Fi deployments all over the world, joined me for an interview to look at what you need to know about changes in technology. And we discussed media disruption, specifically changes affecting journalism and the media right now, from robo-journalism to crowdsourced news stories that you might need to know about, particularly if you want the media to cover you. If you missed last week's programme, then don't panic. It's on the Sheffield Live website. Go to sheffieldlive.org, find radio shows, look up Business Live, and you'll be able to get the podcast from the 4th of August. There's also a wealth of exciting music and much, much more there. So explore and enjoy. But enough of last week's. What's happening this week? Well, today on the programme, James and Ted are in the studio and they're from Diversity. I'm really looking forward to talking with both of them because I've only had 7 cups of coffee already this morning. And I do love my coffee, but I do also love my tea. So we'll be finding out what makes a tea business tick with Ted and with James in just a few minutes. Before we turn to our guests, what's going on in business and in social enterprise at the moment? Well, a few quick things. First of all, if you're running a business or a social enterprise in the city, then you've been invited to join with members of the Federation for Small Businesses and with Paul Blomfield, MP. Paul Blomfield, since his election in 2010, has sought to consult on an annual basis with the local business community. And in September of every year, he holds a consultation week to present his annual report and to engage in local consultation. And he's going to be doing that at a business networking forum, 8 a.m. through to 9:30 a.m. on Friday, the 15th of September. That's at the Burton Street Foundation in 57 Burton Street, and that's S6. And of course, Burton Street, a well-known community enterprise and social enterprise in the city. So Paul Blomfield, he was appointed as a shadow minister in Labour's Brexit team last year. And he has previously been a member of Parliament's Business and Select, the Business and Skills Select Committee, I'm sorry. His interests have included further and higher education, science, innovation, skills and apprenticeships. And he wants to talk to local businesses about your views on Brexit, your priorities for the EU negotiations, as well as other national and local issues and agendas. So if you want to go to the Business Networking Forum, the details are on Eventbrite. If you go to eventbrite.co.uk and look up an event called An Invitation to Meet Paul Blomfield MP, you should be able to find the details and register. Of course, it's free to go along, but you do need to register. What else is coming up? Well, businesses who want to build on Sheffield's expanding links with China are being encouraged to sign up to a number of events designed to help you to explore new opportunities. Sheffield City Council has launched their Sheffield China Business Programme. That includes 6 seminars for businesses to unlock potential opportunities, they say, and to understand the different ways of working in China. The council are preparing for a trade delegation to China. That's scheduled for November this year. And anyone who's interested in exploring that opportunity can register your interest. And the series of 6 seminars include one called Taming the Dragon, an overview of the Chinese market. One called Doing Business in China, which is an introduction to Chinese business culture and etiquette. And then there's a seminar described as Developing Your Market in China, looking at sales, marketing and business development. The other seminars cover protecting your intellectual property rights, getting paid, finance, money repatriation and opportunities for businesses in the Northern Powerhouse working with China. So places are free on that series of seminars on the Sheffield China Business Programme, but you do have to book in advance to do so. So I'll tweet the link out to do that at the end of the programme. But again, it's on Eventbrite. Go to eventbrite.co.uk and look up Sheffield China Business Seminar. You'll find the programme there really, really easily. Sheffield, described as the outdoor city, is going to be hosting the UK's first ever conference and networking event designed to inform, inspire, challenge and to unite the future leaders of the outdoor recreation industries. This is called the Outdoors Future Camp. It's taking place at Ecclesall Woods Discovery Centre on the 5th and 6th of September. And workshops, an overnight camp out, a series of activities including trail running, mountain biking, bouldering and much, much more. This is a joint initiative between the Outdoor Industry Association and ISPO Academy. It's called Outdoors Future Camp. It's a brand new type of event. It's aimed at up and coming outdoor professionals with a focus on developing, inspiring and connecting future leaders. If that sounds like you, then go to outdoorindustriesassociation.co.uk and you'll be able to look up the details of Outdoors Future Camp there. So take a look. And Horasis are convening their Horasis China meeting in Sheffield, 5th to 6th of November. That's co-hosted by the Sheffield City Region and the China Federation of Industrial Economics. You could perhaps be one of just 4 businesses from the Sheffield City region to gain an opportunity to take part in this event and pitch your business to some of China's wealthiest investors. Network with participants from business and government. It's a 2-day program designed for senior decision makers from China and the world to identify business opportunities and approaches to economic development. And loads going on there, including a Y Accelerator program and an investor event held in conjunction with the University of Sheffield's Business Innovation Network. So this is a fully funded program. It's supported by SCR Growth Hub, and there's an application form and details at scrgrowthhub.co.uk. You need to act quickly. You need to submit your application by next Friday, the 18th of August. Talking about acting quickly, the Sheffield Business Awards are open for entries at the moment. You need to get your application in by the 4th of September. And I talked about the number, all the different categories in the programme last week. There are a whole range of categories, including some new categories introduced just for this year. So take a look at Sheffield Business Awards website for more details and then get your application in. Loads more going on as well. Community Business Weekend coming up in October. We talked about that on the show last week. The Made Entrepreneurship Festival, that's taking place in November at the Crucible again. The Connect Sheffield event is taking place, care of Sheffield Chamber, in October at Ponds Forge. Plenty of other exciting things coming up. I'll tweet some links out from my Twitter account, Jamie Veach, at the end of the programme. And that's a reminder, really, because if there's something going on in business or in social enterprise, something that we've covered, that we've mentioned, and you've got a view on, you want to talk about how policy is affecting you, you want to talk about your business and the challenges you've overcome, you want to put forward a topic that you'd like us to discuss on this programme, you want to put forward yourself to be on the show, then you can get in touch. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, send a text message to 07904 272 200, find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter, find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Whether you're running or starting a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. So I think it's about time that we turn to our special guests today. I'm really pleased to welcome Ted and James to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting us.
Thanks very much for coming in on this August morning.
Yes, lots of pollen.
Indeed there is. So you run a really interesting business, Diversity. Mm-hmm. So tell me more. Tell me more about the business.
We have a tea box. So every month we have a theme with different types of tea. For instance, last box, was it only organic? Ted's the expert in the tea.
Well, the thing is, we seasonally curate the artisan loose leaf tea with the theme every month. And we deliver that box to our customers every month, to door to door.
Yeah.
So you deliver to your customers a box, so it's like a membership or a subscription service.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and we create the tea.
Yeah.
So many people, when they think about tea, they go to the supermarket and they buy a massive bag of Yorkshire tea or something like that. But it's quite plain. They don't get the diversity that's available to them.
Yes.
And we deliver that to them. Subscribers.
And that's interesting, isn't it? I suppose UK consumers have woken up to the whole range that there is available in hot drinks. I mean, coffee has exploded.
Oh, yes, now, definitely.
I could go across the road to one of many, many cafes and I could be offered a menu of coffee to choose from. Mm-hmm. Increasingly in a cafe, I'm offered a large menu of teas to choose from as well. But now this is for consuming at home. Your business is about giving people a curated experience in terms of well chosen.
I mean, there's so many different combinations of tea that you couldn't fit on a menu. It's just not possible.
So is this your passion? Have you both always loved drinking tea?
How
did this happen?
Ted's a different kind of story, but for me, I've kind of grown up with like Yorkshire tea. My parents they bought a lot of it, and I was never into tea, especially hot drinks. I never liked hot chocolate either.
Right.
So I grew up thinking this is the only tea available, and last year I went to Asia and I discovered that there are loads of different types of tea.
Right.
And I discovered that I love milk tea and iced tea.
Yes.
So I used to go to like 7-Eleven and just try all the different kind of teas that there were available. Yeah. And it's great. I love it.
Okay. So that's really interesting, James. You've come from a position where you grew up with Yorkshire tea, with big boxes of Yorkshire tea.
Huge
and
ones.
Only recently have you discovered the diversity of tea available. Plus your preferences for cold drinks. Cold brews have meant that actually discovering that this is something you can do with tea has excited your interest, perhaps.
Oh, absolutely.
And what about you, Ted? Was tea something that you've always drunk since you were small, since you were a child? Or
well, and as a Korean guy, I think I've drank tea when I was really young.
Yeah.
And also, well, I like coffees and I like all the alcoholic drinks as well. But still, I think tea was like the thing which I drink when I'm ill, when I'm when I wanted to have a bit of relax, and when I get stressful.
Yes.
So I thought, well, I know that UK, that British people love to drink tea, but they only drink one type of tea. And I thought there was something which is going wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think tea, or the whole drink market, was my kind of a passion area, I'll say.
Right. Okay, great.
That's interesting how we met. It's kind of tea related, but you're sure you'll come on to that.
Yeah, indeed. I do want to cover that. So you've met and you've founded this business.
Yes.
How did you come together as co-founders?
So we actually met in the event which is called Startup Weekend Sheffield.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was pitching my idea of iced tea, which is like a cold brew tea.
I didn't appreciate it at that point. Yeah. And I love it now.
Yeah. James was in the other team and
won.
That he won that event. But
that's
still
a competition here.
Yeah, it was like a competition event. He was in the other team, but I kind of told James to come over to our team.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, we had a mutual friend at the time. We didn't know each other very well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Ted came over, tried to convince me, but I was like, no. I'm saying, I think this team is going to win, so I'm sticking with them.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and then we won, yeah.
Yeah, but after that event, I wanted to still have a tea company, and I contacted James again and again. And
you were pretty persistent. Yeah.
And then James was being in Asia, so he had a bit of change in his perception of the...
Oh, yeah. I recognise the potential in it,
yeah.
The problem that could be solved.
So that perspective change helped.
Yeah,
big time, yeah.
Okay, great. So, Startup Weekend, where you met, which year was that then? Because Startup Weekend's been going for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
Sam,
it's going back a bit, I think.
Yeah, we've talked about it on this program repeatedly.
It's amazing.
Sheffield.
I'm absolutely addicted. I've been to everyone since, apart from one.
Yeah.
That was when I was in Asia, and I actually went. I was in Taipei, which I think I kind of won that as well. I'm not bragging or anything. We kind of have a bit of jest between us about who's won the most.
Oh my god!
It's just friendly though.
Yeah,
just friendly.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So you're a serial Startup Weekender yourself, James.
Yeah. Yeah. After the first one, yeah.
And then Ted, have you been to?
I've been to like
one?
Four, or five Startup Weekends. Yeah. Sheffield, actually.
Yeah.
Addicted as well.
So let's just mention what Startup Weekend is for anyone who's listening who hasn't heard a description of it before.
Right, okay. So basically it's like an event where you just come over, meet loads of people and pitch your idea, and within 3 days, 54 hours, you make yourself a startup.
Yeah.
So it's focused around solving a problem principally. So loads of people with really diverse skill sets. You've got developers, designers, marketers, people that can just identify that there's a problem in the market.
Yeah.
And you come together, you pitch your idea. It's good if everyone pitches an idea. And you form teams, some people join them. And then at the end, you go out and validate, you go and talk to customers.
Yes.
And it's so exciting, but it is quite tiring.
Yes.
I was exhausted the first time. But it's exhilarating, and I learnt so much, and I've absolutely applied the thinking from Startup Weekend to this business.
Yeah, okay.
So I recommend it to everyone that I meet.
So that's a great endorsement for Startup Weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
Startup Weekend Sheffield.
We've been even organised for that one.
Oh, yeah,
well.
Yeah. That was quite true.
I know.
And so it was Startup Weekend that brought you together as founders.
Then
James, you were travelling. Ted, you were contacting James and saying, let's work together. Let's make this happen. When did you form the business then? When did you decide, we're going to do this?
Well,
this March?
Even before that, we were talking about it.
Yes.
Mm.
But it was quite difficult. We were in different time zones, obviously.
Mm. Yes.
So when we came back, we said, let's go full steam on it.
Yeah.
March
or April at this time.
We got an MVP, just a landing page to pitch the idea.
Yeah.
And we got quite a lot of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, this is validated.
Mm-hmm.
So we went ahead and went with it.
And many UK consumers will be aware that the subscription box market for coffee has taken off.
Oh, yeah.
Like Pet Coffee.
Pet Coffee notably doing incredibly well, based in London, and has a huge growing team now. Your business running on a subscription model, sending people curated tea, and that's happened not only in coffee that we've talked about, but even in chocolate. So you're bringing the sort of expertise as curators and finding people interesting teas that you couldn't find yourself. So how's it going so far? You've only launched in March. You've got a landing page out there. You gauged interest. You realise there was validation for your idea. Mm-hmm. Lots of people are interested. So are people signing up and buying your tea? Are they buying it singly? Or are they signing up to subscriptions to get their supply?
Well, first of all, we actually made profit in our first month.
Right.
So we got enough people. I don't remember the exact numbers, but people are definitely interested. We're still like breaking even. We're not actually taking a salary.
Mm.
Yeah. So
we've
got targets for that, mm-hmm. but we're making profit.
So until now, we've launched 3 boxes, June, July, and August box, and we had a bit of problems relating to the logistics and the operation. But
it was a big
challenge for us.
It's quite exhausting because there's quite a lot of effort that we put into the box. Mm-hmm. And even when we had friends helping us out, it was quite difficult. And actually, Ted's house, where we're storing all the tea and stuff, there's piles of boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And just the organisation of that is quite a task.
Oh, I'm sure it must be, yeah.
But we met a customer, which is called Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
She lives in Illinois,
in the US. Chicago.
And she just ordered one of our boxes as a monthly box from the first month.
Through our
Instagram page, and then she keeps on giving like a full A4 page of like comments and feedback.
She keeps promoting it on Instagram.
Yeah, she's a highly engaged customer.
This is what we want. We want to keep close to those customers.
With feedback and helping you to promote.
Mm.
Great. So you're off to an excellent start by the sounds of it. And I have loads of questions and loads of directions to go.
I love it.
You just mentioned Instagram. So Instagram must be an excellent medium for showing people the beauty of loose leaf tea before packing it into the box. And tea, and then a cup of glorious tea that looks tasty and wonderful. Any tips for using social media to...
Right.
help you launch a business?
Well, the quick tip for the Instagram is that to kind of like engage with many people as possible. So like comment and like, and to the ones who actually liked you first. I think messaging them personally is good.
You're establishing a personal relationship with them.
Mm-hmm. So use it as conversational as opposed to the broadcast.
I think as well, our product uses a lot of sensors. So it uses visual and smell. Unfortunately, we can't put the smell across on Instagram.
But we can definitely put the visual.
So like photos are really important.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got props that we use.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very important.
So,
and you need to, I think as well, you need to constantly engage. I think sometimes people give up too easily.
Yes.
Right.
That's
interesting. So people want a quick win. If they don't get it,
I see that quite.
Yeah. Very interesting.
And there are also many tools you can use, like something like Followers Plus. Then you can see who actually unliked you, unfollowed you.
Yes.
So you can see how to engage the people more effectively.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, yes, there are lots of social media management tools out there, and that's one that you found particularly helpful, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Instagram, especially for Korean audiences, is very important.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, I think so. It has a bigger audience than a Facebook in Korea, I think, at the moment.
I thought it was very interesting. This is the cultural differences I'm finding very interesting.
Okay. And so bringing your respective backgrounds together, so... James, you were born down south.
Initially, my father was involved in oil, so we moved around a lot. So we were in Australia, Norway, and then we moved to Harrogate.
Yeah, and you came to university?
To Sheffield Island, quite a few years ago. Yeah. And I just stuck around Sheffield for quite a while.
Okay, great. And then Ted?
Born in Korea, yes.
And came to Sheffield for university?
Yes, I did in 2012, so I've been in Sheffield for like 5 years-ish, I would say.
Okay, so your respective backgrounds in terms of culture, you've just both alluded to, and how different cultures use different media.
Yes.
but also your respective skill sets. Are interesting.
Yeah.
So and passions. What have you each brought to the table?
I think we're kind of a jack of all trades. We have a tendency to wear many hats, mm-hmm. but we have a slight specialism in certain mm-hmm. things. For instance, I know a bit of web development, so I could get the site up quite quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm like no means like the most, you know, like a complete expert in JavaScript or something. Okay. And Ted, you're like
I'm more like a sales and marketing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Friendly sort of personality.
Right? Oh yeah. I think it's we've studied, which is completely different from like a T subscription box business in the uni. So I studied law.
Yes.
Computer networking.
Yeah, computer networking.
Right.
So, like, we have an interest in various areas. Mm. So, when I talk about like sales and marketing, James is always interested. And when he talks about some computing and like web development, I'm always interested.
It's not just interest. You have some actual knowledge that you input into the development side of design. And I get into the marketing as well. So we have many hats, and we both wear them.
Yeah,
it's complementary skill sets.
Yeah. It's like kind of crosses over, but we cross over on everything almost.
Yeah, good.
I think it's really important for startups because you don't have the manpower initially to have lots of specialisms.
Quite. So when you're finding your co-founder or your team bringing complementary skills together.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yeah. But it's like there's a trait, I think, in like co-founders. You've got to be prepared to do lots of different things.
And you've alluded to overcoming some challenges already.
Yeah, definitely.
And for any business, established or startup, there will always be challenges to overcome. Now, I want to look at what you've had to deal with so far, and what you might predict and plan. Mm. But what we're going to do before we do that is we're going to take a quick break for a highly topical, relevant track of music, which you've chosen for us to play. You play Jack Buchanan, and this is Everything Stops for Tea.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch, and we're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the showroom workstation building. On today's programme, we're talking with Ted and James from Diversity, and we're talking about tea. Tea through the post. Delicious tea. Are you feeling thirsty? I'm feeling thirsty. So Ted and James have been telling us about the range of teas that they curate. Can you just give us a quick refresher? Do you see what I did there? About the teas that you've curated so far for June, July and August.
Well, so for example, for the July, we thought it was quite hot out there.
Yeah.
So we curated a theme with summer cold brew.
Right, yeah. Mm.
And we got a tea Kuan Yin oolong from China.
Yeah.
It's like one of very light and pleasure one. And we also have a lemon verbena and a blended tea, which is called Summer Lovin'.
Right.
And also a lavender flower tea.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it did.
So absolutely delicious.
I know, yeah.
And unusual.
We say it's delicious, actually.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Mm-hmm. And what's coming up next?
So for the September box, we are expecting to have a only organic as our theme.
Yeah.
So we only put the organic teas into this one, especially. So we have a Japanese bancha and one green tea with almonds and orange blended. And also one rooibos with a blend with lemon, and also a chamomile tea inside this box.
So those are really interesting combinations. Mm-hmm. Lovely. So where do you source your tea? How have you managed your supply chain?
So at the moment we have various partners in the UK and overseas as well. So we wanted to curate the tea with the quality teas.
Yeah,
so,
right.
We got some great partners in the UK who can suggest some of our good teas in the market. And we were expecting to grab some good teas from overseas, like basically in Asia, where I'm from. And also anywhere in the world. We just found a very interesting tea in Africa, actually.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, the purple tea.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So when you brew it, The colour is purple.
The colour of the brewed tea is purple, is it?
So we are also looking forward to get some of these actually into the UK market as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's likely that you'll be the first to bring many of these teas to the
market. Yeah, that's pretty new.
Yeah. And that carves out a great niche for you, for business.
Because not many people wouldn't even think about looking for the tea, never mind, because we're hunting them out.
Yeah. So. And your own personal favourites so far. I mean, have you made some new discoveries yourself then?
I love the smell of it. Yeah. Sometimes more than the taste. I don't know. Maybe the Earl Grey Exotic. That was one of our first ones. Mm-hmm. That just smells amazing. Oh my goodness!
So great. Okay, and Ted.
Yeah. Well, my favorite until now should be Tea Kuan Yin Oolong.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of like the plain ones than a flavored one, blended ones.
And earlier on in the first part of the interview, you talked about one of your early challenges in terms of logistics.
Yes. Mm.
So how have you solved that? What was the challenge and what did you need to overcome and what did you do about it?
Well, the initial challenge was to make the packaging look right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we have a certain standard we've got to reach.
Yeah.
And because you've got to be dexterous with the box construction, I think.
Yeah, we wanted to have a good-looking box and stable, firm. And we had to try, like, loads of different boxes as well as loads of different tins, which is going inside the box as well.
Mm. Yeah.
I think we had, like, 13 types of different tins in my house at the moment. And we've also tried, like, glass jars as well.
Jars, yeah.
Right.
And after that, we have a problem with the buying the tea bags and boxes, right quantity of the tea bags and boxes in advance.
Yeah, there's a lot of organisation in that. Which now we're trying to secure more streamlined suppliers, so we have we can predict how much we need, in advance.
For the first 2 months, we couldn't actually predict how much we were going to sell. Anyway.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
As a launch, that would have been.
So we just have to order twice, three times more.
Yeah, it's kind of ad hoc. Initially.
And. Now are you getting a better idea then of quantities?
Yes.
Okay, good. And when it comes to packaging, there must be a balance between high quality packaging, protective packaging as well, that works through the post, and the cost of packaging as well.
Yeah. I think it's like, as well as involved in the cost is the time it takes.
Right.
So it does take a while to package.
Yeah.
So we're trying to think of ways where you can maintain the quality, but also make as efficient as possible at the same time.
I see, yeah. Okay, so you've been learning quite a lot in terms of what works for business, in terms of efficiency, optimal quality, customer expectations.
Mm. We're paranoid about it. Yeah. Really worried.
And what are any other challenges that you've faced so far or that you expect to have to overcome this year?
Communication?
There was a bit of a cultural difference. Certain things that Ted was thinking, I just couldn't understand.
Same as me as well.
Yeah,
I couldn't understand why James is telling me like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So so many founders, co-founders working together, business partners in partnerships will have complementary skills, let's hope, and that might mean that they think of things in different ways.
Absolutely.
So what's your advice for founders in terms of communicating better between founders? How have you dealt with this?
I think we've kind of just we've thought about, because when you argue, when you have different ideas, you've got to maximise the amount of time. It's kind of a cost you're spending trying to understand each other. So we try sit down, think about where the other person's coming from. Because sometimes as well, I think the language barrier... Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't say that strictly, but there's some cultural things we don't fully understand.
I think so, now we have a kind of like a certain steps we can resolve the problem.
There's occasional points where we just don't get it. Mm-hmm. So we say, okay, if you're convinced, you feel this with conviction, we'll go for it.
Yeah, I believe you. Deal with it.
Yeah, and then later on, we discover, oh, I understood why we did that. I can see the results in that.
Right, okay, so it's trust.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's sort of parking something and going, okay,
let's go for it.
Yeah.
But there's also trying to understand why the other person's...
Yeah.
Why the other person said that.
So when we have a problem, we first try the messaging apps. Through the messaging apps, we try to message each other and like try to...
That's a really good point.
Yeah, make the other guy understand what I mean.
Yeah,
and then we make a call.
Yeah, it doesn't... You can't always relate over messaging apps. We need to escalate it to a call. Yeah.
Right, but that's interesting. So you will sometimes start by putting it in writing.
Yeah.
So it's... You're trying to clarify your positions, but then writing doesn't always capture the nuance that a conversation can. But writing sort of states where you're coming from,
and then you
take it to a conversation.
Yeah, we make a call, phone call, and then if that doesn't work well, then we'll take a kind of like a few hours off and think about it together.
Because I think you can get into like stressful situations and you can't always think rationally. You've got to sit back a little bit.
Some advice there in terms of communicating between founders that could be of benefit to people working in business partnerships. How are you finding Sheffield as a place to launch and start a business? And where have you had business support or advice from?
It's been amazing, actually. There's a real community around Sheffield, I'm finding. Both Hallam and University of Sheffield.
Yeah,
we get so much support, especially because Startup Weekend is like kind of is around the universities.
Yes, indeed it is.
And there's a big community. We know a lot of people through there, and we help each other out, give each advice, support each other.
Okay, so Ted, you've done a lot of work with the university, as well. You've both worked on. Worked on Startup Weekend. James, previously you did a lot with Sheffield Hallam as well. The universities are trying to support enterprise.
Very supportive, absolutely. Yeah.
And then beyond the universities, there are business support agencies in the city as well, and support programs. Right. Have you accessed any of those as yet, or is that on the cards?
It's on the cards. I think we're starting to engage more. Yeah. I think I think there's obviously so many resources we can use, so we're trying to maximise that.
Yeah, quite. Okay. And your business relies on an attractive website and a slick user experience.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't... I think this is a kind of a principal thing of startups. We couldn't... If we had it all perfect, it'd probably take us like a year or something. And we might have invested all this time, all this money, and it didn't validate. So we had like incremental MVP, first of all. So we had the basic website. It had to be tolerable, right? Mm-hmm. We said, is this tolerable initially? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't perfect, but we just got to keep building and responding to user feedback.
Yeah, and it generated that kind of feedback. So how did this customer in Illinois in the States how did she come to find you?
Well, she just stated that she found us in Instagram, which was completely random.
And she's now buying your tea.
Yeah, consistently.
Yeah, she's using it. Yeah, consistently.
So this is a great advocacy for. At the moment, a small Sheffield startup, but let's hope by the time we get you back on the programme, say next year, you'll be able to say
We're estimating some reasonable growth.
Yeah. Indeed. But starting from scratch, and you already have a customer in the States, and that's thanks to social media.
Yeah, social media was really good.
Now, in the city at the moment, we've had the Google Digital Garage program recently. Been aimed at digital skills for people who are running businesses or aspiring to start them up as well. And We've also done a lot, or the city has done a lot, on looking at skills gaps in tech and in industry generally.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So is education critical here? Is education in entrepreneurship, but it absolutely vital?
Oh, you've got to have specialists.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to have people that are really knowledgeable, because I think we're kind of quite, we're generalists, I think. So I think having people that have, that are very knowledgeable in a particular topic is very important.
Yeah.
And also I think the University of Sheffield itself was really helpful to build up like a general skills overall. So I took a course which is called Making Idea Happen in my last year.
Yes.
Which was related to entrepreneurship as well. So we just had to, for like a one semester, we just have to make a social enterprise for 12 weeks.
Right. Mm.
And that was for like the real project.
Yeah.
And that kind of experience is like nurture my skills.
Okay.
Overall,
and that was a real project.
Yes.
Yeah. So who did you work with? What was your project all about?
I think it was relating to Enactus, actually.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we made a sticker company there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was we did quite well in the presentation, but the business model itself was a bit weak, I'll say. So I didn't get a good mark with it, though. Still, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
It's about learning from your failures. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I've been involved in many activities relating to the University for Enterprise as well.
Yeah.
So that kind of experience is like, yeah, is really crucial in terms of like educating and nourishing the pool of the entrepreneurs in Sheffield as a city.
Great. Okay. Brilliant. Well, we're talking about tea today with Ted and James of Diversity. And it's time, I think, to give mention to the website. Where can people find out more?
So it's diversitybox.com.
.com, yeah.
Yeah.
And on the website, you'll find
tea. you'll find our landing page, and it's still very MVP. We're building on it every day.
Yeah, we're updating every day.
Yeah, and we've got a blog. We have a blog post for each tea box, so you can go on the website and on the landing page, just the first page, you'll see a link. It says show me the August box, and you can see we've written up about the tea.
So you can find details there. You have an Instagram channel too.
Yes, it's called Diversity Box.
Okay, good. And again, pictures, loads of
photos. Yeah, that's really important.
Absolutely great. And so take a look at Instagram and the website of Diversity Tea Box there for details. Now, sadly, radio doesn't do smell very well.
Oh.
If radio did smell really well, then I'd be ripping this lovely, beautiful packaging apart right now and shaking it up and down and putting it next to the microphone. But listeners, you're going to have to just imagine the smell of glorious tea. And the taste too. We've been talking with Ted and James of Diversity. We're going to take a quick break for a track of music before we wrap up the show today. And this is Band of Skulls, and the track is Honest.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veach, and we're talking today with Ted and James of Diversity. They've been on the programme talking about a tea subscription business. You can get carefully curated teas through the post to your door. Discover new flavours that you might have never known existed. Purple tea. I like the sound of that. So, Ted, James, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much
for inviting. Yeah.
Any listeners who've just tuned in and missed the interview with Ted and James, don't panic, because the podcast of today's programme will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. All you need to do is go to sheffieldlive.org, look up radio shows, find Business Live, and then today's programme, the 11th of August, will be there. Whilst you're exploring and enjoying podcasts, then you could find a wealth of other exciting things, from Motown, Northern Soul, classic rock, swing, jazz, and much, much more music. Sheffield Live's presenters love the music that they play, and you can explore and enjoy that not only live on Sheffield Live but through the podcast section of the website as well. There's so much music there across multiple genres. It's all to enjoy. Talking podcast, last Friday's show, we were talking about the future of technology and Wi-Fi, the Internet of Things, borderless collaboration, and much, much more. In fact, we really got the crystal ball out, or should I say, the TARDIS, for a little bit of time travel. What you need to know in terms of what's happening and what's going to change, what's going to affect your business or social enterprise when it comes to technology. That was Neil Reed. He's an internationally published author. He's published three books, one of which is a bestseller, and he's worked on Wi-Fi deployments all over the world. And he joined me for a 25-minute interview. Last Friday's programme also featured a quick rundown through some disruptions happening already in the media industry. Robo-journalism, for instance. How's that going to affect you if you're trying to communicate? Well, listen to the podcast from last Friday's programme to find out more details. And quick return then to James and to Ted, Diversity. Thanks again for coming in
today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've flagged the website. Let's just do so again. How can people get in touch, find out more, and crucially, buy your tea?
So, diversitybox.com. So that's DIVERSITEA.
Box. Box.com. Super. And you have a beautiful Instagram feed as well.
Yes.
So that should whet the appetite. And what's the Instagram?
It's the same, Diversity Box. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Super. Well, thanks so much for coming in, both of you, Ted, James. Wishing you every success
with
the business. Sounds really, really interesting. Off to a great start already, clearly. And look forward to getting you back on the programme in a few months to find out.
Yeah, we'd love to. Yeah,
definitely.
Super duper. Ted, James, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening today to our weekly programme, Business Live, covering business and social enterprise. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on air next Friday, so tune in then. And remember, you can get in touch with us if you want to put yourself or someone else forward to be on the programme, if you want to comment on what we're discussing, if you want to suggest a topic, then all you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, send a text to 07904 272 200, find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. And it's really great to hear from you. Special shout out to listener Philip, who contacted us this week, thanking us for last week's interviews. Thanks for that, Philip. Great to hear from you. And so there's a call. Get in touch. Put yourself or someone else forward. Easy to contact us. So thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back on air next Friday. Tune in then. Thanks also to Sangeeta in the studio with us as our sound engineer. And let's play out with some Bombay Bicycle Club. This is Shuffle.
We're open for Business Live.